This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. Pick a song, we'll play it loud. Send your song request, pause for text line. 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Talk to him later. Get to the fun house. So stay tuned for that. Ravens and the rest of the NFL waiting less than a week, 6 days from legal tampering. Of course, the league year starts next Wednesday, the 12th. Combine's now in the rearview mirror here to talk about the Ravens and how they're situated on Tag Your It Day. 4 o'clock this afternoon from USA Today's The Ravens Wire, WindowNation.com hotline, brings us our buddy Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling today?
Feeling good, guys. Yeah, less than a week till free agency, at least the legal tampering period begins. And, you know, for the Ravens, I know they don't necessarily take an aggressive approach every single season when it comes to that. But still, it's fun to see all the names move around, and who knows, maybe the Ravens will surprise us this year.
Now, are you of the mindset that, I don't want to speak for Vinny or Nolan, but, you know, based on our conversations last couple of days, we believe Ronnie Stanley seems to be headed back to Baltimore. First of all, do you agree with that? And secondly, what does that mean perhaps for Patrick McCary, ever playing another game in a Ravens uniform?
Yeah, I think that all the buzz is that Ronnie Stanley will come back to the Ravens. Obviously, that doesn't mean it's a completely done deal yet. They have to wait till the two sides actually agree for that to be the case. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense for both Ronnie and the Ravens if that were to be the case. Now, there are going to be a lot of teams that are interested in Ronnie Stanley. So, you know, when you talk about the timing of this, it seems like John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta were very confident of the combine during their media availability. So, you know, for Ronnie, he's a guy that's been the anchor, or at least one of them, on that line for a really, really long time now, and really took a risk last season by chopping the last year off of his deal, bet on himself, and he's going to earn, for him, whether it's a two-year deal, three-year, four-year, but in that apparently $20 to $25 million range is what a lot of people are saying, average annual value. And so when you bring back a guy like Ryan, and let's just assume that's what happens, if you bring back Ronnie Stanley, well, for Patrick McCary, it probably means that he's not going to be back. And that could be for a multitude of different reasons. I think that if the Ravens were to come to some level of an agreement with Patrick McCary that, you know, was a three-year, $20 million deal total, that'd be great. But I think McCary is going to get more than that on the open market just because of his versatility and the fact that he can play all five positions. So seems like the Ravens, they're probably one, not both, and it seems like it's Ronnie Stanley over Patrick McCary right now.
Now, let's get to the Wayback Machine, and we're talking about Brandon Stevens a year ago, March 4th, 2024. And we're thinking, hey, coming off a, air quotes, breakout season, probably looking to get himself a contract extension. Here we are a year later, probably in all likelihood out the door. This 12 months, how stunned are you that Stevens went from maybe being a guy to an ex-Raven?
Yeah, it was really one of the bigger fall-offs we've seen from year to year over the last handful of seasons. And, you know, there are always years where a guy breaks out and then he doesn't have as good of a year. But for Brandon Stevens' case, it was he broke out and then really just reverted. And we've kind of seen a player that has not been able to turn his head around for the ball over the last, you know, really since he came into the league. And then you also have a situation with Brandon Stevens where he was the guy that was getting picked on in that secondary, on that defense, honestly. So for a guy that had such a good year in 2023, and there were a lot of talks about, is he going to get extended? What's the situation going to look like? How's that going to go? To all of a sudden now being a player that a lot of people don't want back in Baltimore, and it really doesn't seem like he will be back in Baltimore, it was definitely a huge turnaround.
Kevin, I think when you really look at it, why was he so good in 23? It was because Marlon was so bad, and they didn't go after Stevens because they were all attacking Marlon. And then this year, Marlon was so good, and then who was so bad, you know, on the other side? Yeah, and I totally agree. I wouldn't want him back. I mean, unless he has nowhere to go and he wants to play really, really, really cheap, then I would consider it. But otherwise, you know, I mean, he's not going to change.
Yeah, and I think that's the trend we've seen. And again, we are now past Brandon Stevens' rookie deal, and the trend of him not turning his head around for the ball, that's still a thing. So, and you're right, where the Ravens have a guy like Marlon Humphrey, they have also Nate Wiggins too. Those two had great years last season. So obviously, by just the law of elimination, you're not going to throw Marlon, not going to throw at Nate. Well, Brandon Stevens is a guy you are going to throw at, and, you know, he wasn't able to hold up there. So I think for me, Brandon Stevens is a guy that it's almost like you look at the Nnamdi Dike situation where he turned down an extension and he goes out, has a career year during his contract year. Now, who knows if the Ravens offered Brandon Stevens an extension last year? I don't think, you know, we ever got confirmation whether or not that happened, but, you know, that's another situation where, yeah, contract year, rookie deal, it's the opposite side of the coin where Brandon Stevens did not perform well, and now he's looking at a deal that is going to be probably a lot less than he would have gotten last season.
Kevin, wouldn't you have said that legal tampering started last week at the Combine and probably, you know, almost finalized at the Combine? Because when legal tampering starts, how many deals, agreements we've got on the first day and the first hour?
Yeah, you always get those couple in the first minute or two or 5 minutes where you're like, okay, yeah, this whole contract was talked about not right. So I think that for a lot of these teams, they're talking with agents, they're talking with representatives, and you're exactly right, where I think that, you know, we see this not even just football, you can expand to like basketball and some of these other sports as well, where, you know, that legal tampering period opens and you always get those first couple really early on. And I think that for the Ravens, the big thing here is Ronnie Stanley, where that is probably going to be their big fish if that is the case. Now, doesn't mean they can't go out there and make another move for an outside guy that's a game changer, maybe an edge, maybe a corner, whatever position you want to put there. But it seems like for Baltimore, Ronnie Stanley, and if he's not signed by the time free agency opens, we now know that there are going to be multiple different teams. Obviously, they're going to pursue him, the Patriots being one, apparently the Chiefs are another one of those teams that could loosely enter his market. And so, you know, if Baltimore wants to get, I think the number was $21 to $23 million annually for Ronnie. If he hits free agency, well, you know, teams like the Patriots, who have over $120 million in cap space, they could make a play and maybe change that market up a little bit. So I think that, you know, it's a good thing that the Ravens and Ronnie's representatives and whatnot were talking, appears at the Combine, and, you know, hopefully they can figure something out.
Kevin, what do you think the Ravens are going to do at inside backer? Put Roquan to the side, you know, everybody else.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I mean, I feel like the Ravens are going to give Trenton Simpson another shot there as well. But, you know, you have Malik Harrison as a free agent. Chris Board is a free agent as well. So I would probably say the Ravens bring one of those two guys back, whether it be Harrison or Board. I know that Board has a special teams ability. Malik Harrison is versatile and what he can bring to the table there. But I wouldn't be shocked if Baltimore tries to bring in a veteran option, not to necessarily challenge Trent Simpson or whatnot, but, you know, to be able to at least have some competition, because the way that it went last year was, you know, they liked Trent Simpson. They thought he could be that guy, and it didn't work out that way. Now, they were able to put together something with Malik Harrison and Chris Board towards the end of the season, but it really just felt like in a lot of these positions, like safety, for example, being another one, they were scrambling to find what perfect combination it would be. And credit to Zach Orr, John Harbaugh, et cetera, for being able to kind of figure out, okay, we need to do this, we need to make these types of changes. But really, for a guy like Roquan, who had to do so much at that position last season, I think bringing in a running mate is going to be really important. Now, it doesn't mean you go out there and spend all this money, but I still think that, again, if Trent Simpson can't be that guy, you need to have another option this season, and probably a better one than what Malik Harrison or Chris Board brought you, which I thought, you know, those guys were able to respond well, but I think they now have the offseason to figure out what they want to do there.
All right, so basically right now, Kevin, the Ravens have three receivers on the roster. What do you think they do with Tez Walker being the third, who, you know, right now you hope he develops into a three, but you can't say that right now. What do you think they do with the other two or three roster spots?
Yeah, I think that if the Ravens keep six wide receivers, I'll just throw that number out. Re-signing one of Nelson Aguilar or Tylan Wallace, probably, and I would probably assume the Ravens choose Tylan Wallace in that situation over Nelson Aguilar. And I would say one vet and one draft pick. And whether that is a big veteran trade or just a Nelson Aguilar-type signing from outside the organization, I think that would be one. And then same thing with the draft. You know, whether you spend a day two pick, maybe even a day one pick if they're feeling spicy with the position, or if you just go and you take another guy in the fourth round like you did for Tez Walker, but we did see last season, the Ravens tried to bring in Deontay Johnson to be that third wide receiver. And obviously, in principle, you know, the idea of the on-field product of Deontay Johnson was a great idea. But we know the off-field product of Deontay Johnson kind of prevented that from happening. And we saw it was Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and then other guys had moments here and there. But you want that third steady presence, even though you do have guys like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely currently on the roster, and we'll see how that situation with Mark plays out. So I do think it'll be one of Tylan Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, a veteran signing slash trade, and then a draft pick if we're going with the six wide receiver model there.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire, video at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. I'm going to ask you the same question we were asking yesterday. I'm going to ask everyone covers the Ravens. When the Baltimore football team kicks off in 2025, will Mark Andrews be on it? Kevin Allstriker.
I'm going to say yes. I think that a lot of people right now are wondering if a trade will happen or if he'll get cut. It's $11 million in cap savings if he does, you know, move on, if the Ravens move on. I just feel like this is the last year for Mark and Isaiah together. I think that they should choose Isaiah after this season. But I think if there's a restructure that could happen here, and I don't know what that looks like, you know, there just needs to be another season, I feel like, for Mark and Isaiah. It doesn't mean that it has to happen in terms of them going out there and having them on the field together, but I think that if you're only going to get, let's say the market is a fourth or a fifth rounder for Mark, I just think it's better to have him on the team for one more year. This feels like kind of a, not a last hurrah of sorts, but feels like the year before a bunch of changes have to happen with extensions and whatnot. I feel like having Mark on the roster for one more season is better than not having him, and then you can kind of figure out the Mark and Isaiah situation after the year.
Kevin Allstriker, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
You guys, thanks so much as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Of course, one of our two Kevins we have every Tuesday here on the Fan. Whip around 11:15. Bad NBA news. If you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, we'll elaborate, talk about the American League East and these post or the off-season grades now that we're less than a month away from first pitch. Hit a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Mr. Electricity, bringing the fun here on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Turn Up Tuesday. You want to allow it, send your song request, plot sport text line at 410-583-1057. News out of the NBA this morning. Kyrie Irving, torn ACL on his left knee. Dallas Mavericks out for the season, first quarter against the Kings last night. So already waiting for Anthony Davis and Daniel Gafford and many others to come back from injuries. Devastating turn of events for the reigning Western Conference champions. Kyrie, 32 years old, done for the season. So Nolan McGraw, remember when they first made the trade with Luka with the Lakers? It was in the immediate. Dallas would get the advantage because Davis would come in, plug and play. And he was playing great for, what, 2.5 quarters? Then the adductor. And then Kyrie was having one of his best seasons. Then the injuries started to mount. So their dynamic duo, unfortunately, their season will be limited to pretty much a half.
Right, and then you consider the type of injury, ACL, that's a long recovery. I was curious, looking at his contract, he's got a player option for next year, and that's it. So he's going to pick it up, you know, $43 million to rehab, essentially. But you start looking at that part of it, Anthony Davis, you know, he's not going to play a full season. They might already be toast for next year.
Yeah, and the Lakers are on fire since the trade with Luka Doncic. By the way, Golden State's 8-1 since they got Jimmy Butler. Yeah. So that's a trade that blew up in their faces because of injuries, not because of performance. They're both great Hall of Fame level players, but unfortunately, I mean, they're going to be spending the rest of the season watching it from the sideline.
Yeah. So it was like the basketball gods didn't like that trade, Bob.
Kyrie Irving out for the year in the NBA. It's Vinny at 81.057, the Fan Whip Around. So that's breaking news there. In college basketball, we talked about it with Kevin Willard earlier in the show. Terps 22-7, 12-6 in the league. At Michigan tomorrow, 22-7, 14-4. In the Big Ten. Maryland ranked number 13 in the country. Number 17 are the Wolverines. Maryland coming off a road win at Penn State, where they hadn't won in years. 7 losses in a row, as a matter of fact. They've lost 5 straight here at Michigan. They're coming off a home loss on Sunday to Illinois, and we'll have that coverage for you. Walt Williams will be joining us tomorrow to preview the game, so stay tuned. In the Big Ten last night, Coach Willard referenced this. UCLA was handling Northwestern, then had to hold off the Wildcats 73-69 to Mick Cronin. Bruins get themselves a big win there. Top 25, number 2 Duke blows out Wake Forest 93-60. Cooper Flagg's probable final home game, and they try to bait him. Hey, coming back, because they're yelling one more year. He's like, I'm just enjoying the ride, et cetera, et cetera. He'll be down in D.C. next year.
Hopefully.
Unless the ping pong balls go opposite of the Wizards' luck, which has never been all that great. Number 3, Houston handles their business against Kansas 65-59. So this disappointing season for the Jayhawks continues. Wolverines, or excuse me, the Houston Cougars, we talked about them yesterday with Jerry Palm. And they need points. They're usually great defensively. They need points. Looks like they're going to be able to get them if they have to get into a shootout. And their defense usually dictates things. Locally in the MEAC, Morgan beat Delaware State 87-81. And UMES beat Coppin State 72-59. So that one, the MEAC tournament, starts next week. Already have conference tournaments underway, and we'll keep you up to date on some of the scores. Remember, Towson is the number 1 seed in the CAA NBA last night. Wizards, speaking of them, they lose down to Miami 106-90. Bam Adebayo, 19 points, 15 boards, 5 assists. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore zone. Archbishop Curley had 8 points, 3 boards, 2 assists for the Heat. Bob Carrington for the Wiz. Baltimore again out of Pittsburgh. St. Francis, 14 points, 5 boards, 7 assists there. It was Atlanta, a high-scoring affair, coming from behind, stealing the game against Memphis, 132-130. Trae Young had 12 points, 5 boards, and 15 assists in this game. Santi Aldama did not play with a calf. Ja Morant did not play either for the Grizzlies. But Atlanta, things have not been going as smoothly as everybody thought with Quinn Snyder there down there in ATL. How about one of the highest scoring games of the night? Oklahoma City, 137-128 over Houston. Your boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nolan, 51 points. More points than minutes. That's a good thing. 51 points, 5 boards, 7 assists. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, 8.7 boards, 2 assists there. Cam Whitmore getting a start for the Rockets, another Baltimore kid. Yeah, 27-11 for Houston in a losing effort in that one. In the NHL last night, Capitals back on the ice, trying to break a 3-game losing streak, taking on Ottawa, and it looked like they were going to puffy pants them, and then it got into shootout territory.
3 this season, 2-for-11 in his career. Strom off the deke, he scores!
He made a hell of a move there, Strom did. I mean, the Caps had been a 1-3 in shootouts. So, but they started out awesome. They were up 3-0. 3-0 after, or 2-0 after one, then 3-0 when Wilson scored. But in the first period, we had Tkachuk and Wilson fighting because they thought that that was going to happen in the Four Nations, but Wilson didn't make the team. So they got it on in that game, and both got their 5-minute penalties. But tell you what, Ottawa played a hell of a game. I mean, they were down 4-3, and they scored with, 48 seconds to go in the game to tie it, to send it into overtime. And the Caps still ended up getting their 2 points. So they're up 12 over Carolina in the division. They got a big national TV game at the Rangers. I think it's on either Saturday or Sunday, one of the 2 days. But the Rangers are playing pretty good right now, too. So
they're at New York tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, national TV game. Yeah, so that'll be a big game because, like I said, the Rangers are playing good and they're starting to climb a little bit. They got 66 points. They're 2 behind Columbus in the Metro.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around here on this Turn Up Tuesday. This day in sports history, it is March the 4th. A couple of Maryland games to get into, but quickly, 1968, Madison Square Garden, Smokin' Joe Frazier. TKO'd Buster Mathis in the 11th round. Joe Frazier lost to Buster Mathis in the Olympic trials in 1964. But Buster Mathis got hurt, and Smokin' Joe went to the gold medal and won it Then they fought for the belt. Frazier wins it, a portion of the heavyweight championship, which was stripped away from Muhammad Ali. Frazier will win it in full when he knocked out Jimmy Ellis a couple years later. Same venue, but Smokin' Joe, one of the, forgotten, but great heavyweight champions of all time, beats up old Buster Mathis today in 1968, 1976, Cap Center, College Hoop, 19th. Ranked Maryland in overtime over Duke, 80-78. Lawrence Boston put back, wins it for the Terps. Steve Shepard at 18. John Lucas, 15. Brad Davis, Mo Howard both had 14. Maryland would lose their next game to Virginia. Maryland would have finished 11th in the national rankings. It would not make the NCAA tournament, no. They were ranked in the top 10 for the vast majority of that season, including getting as high as number 2 in the rankings, right behind Indiana, the last undefeated team. But because Maryland did not win the ACC regular season, Carolina did, and Virginia won the tournament, upsetting Maryland and Carolina to do so, they got the automatic bid. And the 11th-ranked team in the country, with 4 NBA players on the roster, did not even make the big dance. 41 years ago today, Cole Fieldhouse, 19th-ranked Maryland, beat Virginia, 74-65. Len Bias had 15 of his 17 in the second half. Adrian Branch had 20, as Maryland would win that one off to the ACC tournament. We'll keep you up to date on that one. Spoiler alert, they won it in Greensboro. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. If you would have joined us, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles are off today. Everything looking good, it seems, with the starting rotation. Felix Bautista made a spring debut, throwing 97 miles an hour. Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg look like they're going to be back this week. So all's right in Birdland, isn't it? Unless you want to complain about something. What are we going to do there, Vinny? Going to break down the Ravens stats relating to what?
Well, what we want to look at is, like, offensively, you know, they were very good what can they improve upon? How can they improve upon it? And, you know, is it coaching? Is it players that they can improve upon it, both offensively and defensively?
Because we talk about the sack numbers, which were plentiful, but their win rate wasn't all that great. So how does that change as they look to, you know, maybe become a little more dominant? Because 2 years ago in 23, when they led the league in sacks, they seemed like a force getting to the quarterback. Last year was more like, oh, wow, they got a sack.
Yeah. And
you had two guys at double figures, and it still didn't seem like they were a dominant pass rush team.
Right. And I think in 23, Bob, they had them coming from everywhere. Hamilton had sacks. Marlon had sacks. We had another DB that had sacks. I mean, they were coming from everywhere, and Patrick Queen was a hell of a blitzer at that time too.
Bracketology came out today. The updated from Joe Lenardi. We had Kevin Willard on about an hour ago. Maryland holding strong at a five seed right now. They would take on Drake if, in fact, the tournament started today, with a possible matchup with Arizona looming in Denver, even though they're in the East region. So they're in the East, but they'd start in Denver. Duke would be the number one seed. That would be an interesting thing to watch if they got to the Sweet 16.
And that's about saving money, Bob? Is that what it's about, the travel?
Well, why would you send them to Denver if they're playing in the East region? You're trying to save money. It makes no sense. I think, and if memory serves, they wanted to get other quads, if you will, to get a chance to see teams, but you know, it wasn't broken before. But either way, Maryland's in it. It's all that matters. A year ago this time, they need a lot of help, which they never got. They didn't help themselves to get into the big dance. The Orioles are off today. ESPN gave them a C- for their off-season work, even though they're behind the Yankees. Most odds makers have them as the team expected to win the second most games in the American League, and now the Yankees have a ton of injuries. Luis Gil is going to be out for a couple of weeks, probably longer than that. Remember, Clark Schmidt had the latissimus injury last year, and he didn't pitch for 5 months. So Luis Gil dealing with stuff. Stanton's already starting on the IL. DJ LeMahieu is banged up. So the Yankees, injuries hitting them before we're even out of Florida, where the Orioles, with the exception of Gunnar and Westberg, dealing with side-to-back, everything seems to be A-OK, and the Mountain came back, did what he had to do. And legal tampering starts in the NFL in less than a week. We've been talking about Mark Andrews. Eric DaCosta said all the great things about Andrews. We love him. We feel him. But then again, some were trying to read between the lines, saying it was almost like it was a thanks for your services, but we're probably moving on. I don't feel it.
Yeah.
I think they keep the band together because that's one of the strengths of the team. Next year, however, things will have a dramatically different look.
I totally agree 100%, Bob. And, you know, they on a morning show this morning, they had the dude that comes on with them. He says that they should trade Likely.
What guy? What dude?
Oh, he's come on with us, too. Film guy. Local guy.
Kenny Cusick?
Yes.
There we go.
He says trade Likely. I'm like, seriously?
All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, what's happening?
Good morning. I have a question and a comment. The question I'll give first and then I'll give the comment and y'all can answer the question off the air. The question is that it seems like every year the Ravens have to juggle money or something like that to keep major players. It is no way that I would let Mark Andrews just walk out of there. I keep Andrews and Likely and also the percentage of throws that Lamar Jackson do that's under 3 or 4 seconds, because I think that's because he needs more of them to move down the field. My comment is this: if I think that every man has some type of a fetish, and if you've had a if you had a girlfriend or whatever that's real good looking or whatever, and all the guys admire you, but if something happened and they tell you, oh man, let her go, and everything like this, and as soon as you let her go, everybody else try to jump on it. The Ravens are going to be crazy if they let their field goal kicker go.
Tucker.
And again, my thing is, again, I don't think that I had a mother, a wife, a daughter, and if something happened to them, I would want them to let me know, but don't take 10 years to tell me and everything. Yeah. So that's where I am.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. With the Tucker thing, it might – Ravens might not have to do anything. The league might get involved, make that decision.
No doubt.
For him.
Yeah, I think he gets suspended 6 or 8 games, and then the decision's made. But the thing is what would be interesting, Bob, okay, because you kind of do, but you kind of don't. Because if he gets suspended, let's say 6 games, the suspension starts when? Starts first regular season. So he can still come to camp and all. Are you having him in camp might be the better question.
Well, if he's not kicking for you, you would do everything you could, I would assume, to make the transition easier for whoever the next guy is going to be. And having Tucker booming 65-yarders while you might be struggling might not be an ideal scenario.
That'll be an interesting, I mean, because then you're going to kind of know, because the Ravens are going to kind of have to crap or get off the pot with that. You know, do you let him stick around or do you keep him out of the building? What are the Ravens going to do in that scenario?
It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, take more of your calls. Get to Nolan's Funhouse at 410-583-1057. News for the desk, top of the hour. Talk some more Ravens, less than a week away from legal tampering. Ravens, are they tampering? They getting Ronnie Stanley back. Tag days today at 4 o'clock. They tagging anyone? We're guessing no, but you never know. We'll count some money. 12:15, hopefully buy or sell. And Nate Davis, USA Today. He was at the Combine last week in Indy. What did he learn? What did he see? What do you know? What do you say? In 2024, but let's get out to the phones. PT in Towson. PT, thanks for holding. What's happening?
All good. Guys, if I could hear your lineup, the Orioles opening day lineup, you know, after a hang-up, I'd really appreciate it. Because I think it's really hard to, you know, pinpoint where everybody's going to bat. A guy like Holiday could be 8, 9, or leadoff.
But the guy I'm leaning towards about him being later, deeper in the lineup. Just spoiler alert.
Yeah, I agree. I think take the pressure off. But again, he had
strong 8 or 9. Hey, look, Cedric, he's having a quiet spring offensively, but I think he's built up some equity yet. Because wouldn't you want, not to digress too much, PT, because I know you have something else you want to get into, but don't you want Gunner to be more in a run production piece in the lineup now at this stage. Yeah, I mean, if he gets on base better than anybody else, so be it. And he's going to hit a ton of leadoff homers, so be it. But, you know, you got to replace that 100 ribbies and 44 homers from Taters. And you know, he seems the most likely to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm totally surprised he's in the one hole. I always would see him as like obviously a three or a two, but I guess it's just the game has changed so much in the last, 10 or 15 years, and it's all the analytics and the OPS and this, that, and the other. But yeah, that's why I think, I mean, we all agree, Holiday is a guy that's going to blow up, and he could be such a key guy because his on-base percentage was over 430 at Triple-A with a huge sample size. So, I agree with what you're saying. I think Holiday's going to bat low in the line. I would think he's going to bat nine. Cedric, will only face mostly righties or maybe only righties.
It's fluid because Cedric, the entirety of his career, was a leadoff hitter, then struggled, dropped deep in the lineup. Adley dipped in the second half in the lineup where he was leading off when they were making that division championship run couple years ago. I mean, these are nice dilemmas to have, and PT, you just said it. It's no longer your traditional Earl Weaver, Buford, Blair, Frank, Brooks, Boog. You know what I mean? It's a lot of movable pieces here, it seems.
And I think it is about analytics, Bob, because what do they say with analytics? Because he's leading off, he gets the hit more often or whatever, and that's why they want Gunner
or
leading off.
And gets on base.
Right.
If he's 0 for 5, who cares how many times he's hitting? If he's getting on 40% of the time, that's what matters.
Right, and that's the thing with Holiday. He's got a great history of striking out as much as he walks. And Colton's a guy who he's the guy that I think scares all of us because he struck out so much last year, it was downright frightening. But his career tells you that he's got a good eye and he gets on base a lot. Plus, he's going to hit 30 home runs this year. It's possible if he gets the at-bat. So there's a lot to be excited about.
Well, the end of his season last year in the playoffs where he got hit, broke his wrist, striking out. I mean, boy, that's kind of a fitting end to the Orioles season where a guy, I didn't realize either, PT, he struck out ninth most in Orioles history. That was wild, wacky stuff when looking at those
painful
stats. Yeah, no doubt.
And that's always his thing with Kowser. The one hole in his game is the strikeouts. But if you look over the numbers, the guy gets on base consistently, and he's a hard worker, from all reports. So, I'm really excited about Kowser. I think I got him in the four hole, but he's going to play every day because he's such a plus defensively, and he doesn't have the terrible splits, I don't believe, that Mullins has. Or like O'Hearn. I don't see O'Hearn facing too many, if any, left-handers this year because he is a 7.7. He was a 7.77 OPS last year versus the righties, but versus the lefties, he just can't do it for whatever reason.
And Mountcastle usually wears out southpaws too.
Yeah, I think Mountcastle's another guy that's lined up for a real. And I don't want to be like such a homer, but I mean Mountcastle, that wall's going to help him. And I think it's a contract year for him. He's going to have a good year. I don't want to see him diving headfirst into bases anymore, for God's sake. He's not like a fluid athlete. It's amazing. He was a shortstop prospect coming up. But I love his stick, and he deserves a heck of a lot of credit because he's really has evolved as a fielder at first base. But the guy I want...
Two-time Gold Glove finalist. Yeah, real quick. Sorry about that.
No, it's me. Heston Kerstad. All right. 946 OPS last season, 946 OPS on July 12th, and when that squirrel Holmes, who's a punk, hit him in the back of the head, at that 946 OPS is better than every Yankee last season other than Soto and Judge. And Heston Kerstad is a guy people aren't even talking about. And Hyde put him in the lineup. He batted him in the two-hole once, batted him in the four-hole a couple times, the five-hole seven times. In other words, this is a guy that Brendan Hyde, in a great lineup, one of the best lineups in baseball last year, batted him in the top five, almost 50% of his game started last year. This team is loaded, and the guy that's going to blow up, in my opinion, is Heston Kerstad. What is your take on that, Bob?
All right, thanks, PT, because coming up top of the hour, he better. I mean, he's now 27 years old. He was drafted in 2020. Then had the myocarditis, then got the hammy, got drilled last year in the head by Clay Holmes, now with the Mets, starting out of their rotation. Look, this is a dude that's been on their playoff roster 2 years in a row. 23 and 24. So they like the home run potential. Think he's a little more athletic than we give him credit for. Might not ever be a fluid, smooth defensive outfielder, but that power plays. And when you see he makes good wood, he's got enough power. Even if he doesn't get all of it, he's got enough to send it over the wall. But I don't know if it's put up or shut up time for Heston Kjerstad, but this is a big year for him, especially given the fact that Cedric Mullins is a free agent. If O'Neill blows up, he can opt out of his contract. They got a lot of possible holes in next year's team, and you have a younger, controllable guy in Heston Kjerstad. If he plays like the second pick in the draft, we're all waiting for it because he's proven all he could possibly prove at AAA. Now it's the time to do it in the American League East. When we come back, news from the Nets, talk to Ravens. Buy or sell, where's our money? Hopefully counting it at 12:15. You got any money? Don't spoil the tease. And then Nate Davis, USA Today. The combine's over. Who helped themselves? Who hurt themselves? And, can the Giants move up to number one? Would it be prudent